Thank you, Emily, and it's great to be here in this lovely and wonderful city. I'm going to talk about money this morning. Anyone want to talk about money? All right. What I want to do is talk about the fact that in my profession, we actually have three or four active journals. And, can you hear me? And they have different economic models. The others are all traditional journals. Our journal, the JACMP, is an open access journal, and anyone can get any of our articles at any time. I'm going to this morning talk about the economic models, talk about Tetradic network technique, and talk about a transaction cost model for scholarly publishing. These are very simple concepts. And I'm going to compare the transaction cost of medical physics and JACMP economic models. A transaction cost is the cost of exchanging information. You might think, isn't that what we do in publishing? Doesn't that just involve all the costs? No, it doesn't. If you look at the final product of the JACMP, which maybe would be a PDF, something to communicate scholarly information. You look at the final product of MedPhys, a similar journal, you find they look the same. And the information would be very similar. But the transaction cost is very different. And the transaction cost is what makes the open access movement a disruptive influence in the environment. This is Medical Physics, the largest journal in our community. It's edited by my good friend Bill Hendy. And this is the JACMP. Notice the banner ads at the bottom. We fund our journal completely through banner ads. It does a little bit more than break even, and it does a very nice job for us. We're now in our eighth year of publishing. We got into this rather early. I started looking into how we could make an online open access journal a reality back in 1998. So you can see we started early in this. Now, we occupy very similar publication spaces. We publish the clinical articles. MedPhys publishes the science articles. And a little bit of overlap, and that's okay. To me, there is a greater urgency and a greater need to get the clinical papers into the hands of physicists to do it fast because our patients are depending on it. Now, we all know some of the limitations of the print journal business model. Price of the information is too high. Library subscriptions are out of sight. Even personal subscriptions are often very high considering they're chock full of ads. There's a long lag time, maybe becoming a little bit shorter because the print journals have, they have gotten used to the idea that they can really compete in terms of time by going to an online management model for peer review and for editing. And of course, we're all familiar with the disadvantages. The author loses ownership, copyright, property rights, and we still don't recognize these as important public policy issues. But the open access journal also has some limitation. Funding is often problematic, and we're going to talk about the money. Loss of revenue from library subscriptions, advertising revenue is only a small fraction of print advertising. There's little or no income derived from reprints or royalties. Now let's follow the money. If you want to see who's benefiting, follow the money. Universities pay scholars. Scholars make the articles. Scientific societies publish the articles. And libraries pay for and archive the scholarly articles. So the universities are paying for the information twice. They pay once when the scholar is paid to generate the information in the first place. And then they pay again to buy that information back in the form of a library subscription. For open access journals, universities pay scholars, scholars produce the scholarly articles, retain the copyright. Scientific societies provide the journal to disseminate the scholarly articles to the worldwide community, and libraries pay only to provide access, Now, that's a significant cost. You've got space, you've got computers. So there's still a significant cost for providing access to open access journals. Now, I'm going to compare the costs of the JACMP, and I'm very familiar with the costs, having been intimately involved with the finances of the organization since the very beginning. And I'm going to compare them with MedFiz. Now, MedFiz costs are estimated. I don't have access to the true actual costs, but a lot of this information is published within our society, and I did validate this model, this cost model, with people that do have the information, and they say, yep, you're right on target, you're within 10 to 15% of what the actual costs are. So, what are the costs of a journal? You got to pay the editor-in-chief or the office of the editor-in-chief for manuscript management, perhaps a stipend to the editor. Okay, well, you know, there's some amount of money that goes there. You pay the copy editor. Copy editors are going to cost what copy editors are going to cost. Same with layout editors, same with proofreaders. You can't get away from these costs. They're common. Now, medical physics is published by the American Institute of Physics. There's probably no more complex publishing model that exists than physics publications in general, because they involve figures, they involve tables, and they involve equations, all of which need to be edited and they need to be letter perfect. It's very complex to do this. And when we started out, we were very apprehensive about matching the quality of the American Institute of Physics, because they've been around publishing physics articles for 100 years. Now let's talk about the revenue. What is the revenue? Where does it come from? Well, you might think that we're atypical. No, we're a pretty typical medical journal. We really are. There's a lot of money in medicine in the U.S., and advertisers are willing to pay to get access to scholars. They're willing to pay to get their print ads in the hands of scholars. So there's a significant amount of revenue for the print journal MedFiz, library subscriptions, member subscriptions, other revenue. They have revenue of about $2 million. We're running our journal on a little less than $25,000. Now let's look at the expenses. Well, I love zeros when it comes to expenses. I don't know about you, but look at all those beautiful zeros. We have some publisher expenses, but you're going to have publisher expenses. These things don't appear out of the air. MedFiz publishes 10 times the number of pages a year. They publish about 3,500 to 4,000 pages a year. We publish about 350 pages a year. Well, you know something? We're publishing one-tenth the academic content. We're a smaller journal, but we're doing it on 1/100th the revenue. Those numbers are real. So, here's this factor of 10 that we're talking about. Now, they have a substantial amount of revenue, but they also have a substantial cost. They profit significantly, and we profit less. And this is per article. Okay, so where do we go from here? Now, we're going to analyze the scholarly publication process. We're going to predict the future direction of academic publishing. Aha! Put on our little crystal ball on the table and see. But, you know, if the analysis is correct, we will see the future. And what works one place might not work another place. The academic community is hugely diverse. And the expense models are very different. They're driven by market forces. They're driven by other things as well. Here's a very simple tetradic network technique model. Number one, purpose. Number two, what goes in. Number three, the process, the washing machine. Number four, what comes out. And then what comes out drives the purpose. Maybe the purpose will change. Maybe the purpose will move in a little bit of a different direction. All of this involves the exchange of information. And notice it's six directions. There's an exchange of money and an exchange of information associated with that. Now, I'm not going to go into all the details. The entire article is online. I want you to read over the entire article. Think about whether or not my assumptions seem reasonable to you. If they don't, please email me. But I am going to go through maybe one or two examples of transaction costs and how I estimated them. You can't do anything but estimate transaction costs. You have to trust me. But I've got a good feel for the numbers here. I've done this for 10 years. Transaction cost is normalized to one article reader. The cost for one reader to read one article. And we're going to normalize and make the print journal and the online journal publish the same number of papers. So we're going to have 200 articles a year by both. We're going to assume a typical scientific society of 2,000 scholars. They each read 10% of the articles, 500 libraries, 10,000 scholars. They subscribe to the print journal. Each library copy is read by four scholars who also read 10% of the articles. Now, the cost is going to vary. Scholar has access to a university where the article is archived. He can go read it. If he's a member of the scientific society, he's going to read the journal that comes to him. And there's another cost if he has to go online and download and pay for a PDF. Hugely inefficient, very expensive way of obtaining an article. You'll pay $25, $30 to get an article in that way. So, just a couple of examples. Library pays $10,000, pays $1,000 to subscribe to the journal, serves four scholars, that's $250 per scholar. So each article reader pays, if you will, $250 for access to 200 articles and to read 20 articles. Now you say, well, the scholars aren't paying, the library's paying. Well, you know, universities support the library and they support the scholars. If that cost wasn't there, they could afford to pay the scholars more. So it is a cost. The transaction could be viewed as a benefit, if you will, a benefit of employment. So assuming 10% of these articles are read, that equates to $12.50 per article reader. Now, let's compare this and look at open access. Libraries must pay to provide electronic access for 10,000 scholars to research articles. And we're going to estimate that cost as $10 per year per scholar. So this journal produces 200 articles a year. Four scholars access the journal at a total cost of $40 a year, and each reads 20 articles a year in the journal. The cost is 50 cents per article reader. Big difference. One more example. Scholars must pay dues to a society that publishes a journal of 200 articles a year, charges $200 per year for a subscription. Scholar reads 20 articles a year, works out to $10 per article reader. Open access. Scholar has open access to the articles. He may own his own computer, or he may go to the library. There's a cost of $10 a year, regardless, to view 200 articles. You read 10% of those 20 articles, works out to 50 cents per article reader. Let's do this for all six transactions. Print, these are the numbers. Let's do this for all six transactions. Open access, these are the numbers. Notice they're lower. This is money that's washing around in the system like a washing machine. This is money that's counted more than once. because the money goes from the scholar to the library, and then from the library to the society when the library has to pay for a journal subscription. And there's money that transfers between the society and the publisher in order to get the article up online. You count the dollars twice, or three times, or four times, but you count all the transactions. Notice the factors. So, for our 200 print articles, here's the total transaction cost. And for our open access publication, here's the transaction cost. Again, this is in the paper. You can read these numbers, see if they make sense to you. All right, total transaction cost, $10,750 per article for a print journal, $1,000 an article for an open access journal. Yes, that's more than the cost. Remember, we, for our particular examples, MedPhys was $2,700, and for the JACMP, this was $500. These numbers are bigger. Why? Because we're counting the dollars more than once. But that's what you do when you do a transaction cost analysis. But notice the difference for our model. Print versus open access. That's a factor of 10. So what do transaction costs tell us? Scientific societies are still going to gain more because they still profit more. And we can certainly see this as exemplified in medical physics. And the universe and the system has not responded because university scholars, advertisers are not insisting on open access scholarly exchange. And still, the benefits of lower transaction costs, while they're not immediately apparent, they will eventually win out. And I honestly believe that the open access movement will prevail. Now, we had some growing pains. We started off with another publisher, and we had an awkward model. It wasn't anywhere nearly as smooth and elegant as the PKP system. And we left our traditional publisher back in 2003. And these are the numbers that we incurred in 2003 with an old publisher that was more traditionally minded. And our current cost model with our current publishing partner, MultiMed of Milton, Ontario, you can see that we have substantially lowered costs. Like I said, we publish four quarterly issues of 10 to 15 articles per issue, 350 pages a year, and we do this for a very cost-effective cost, resulting in an extremely high-quality product, which we needed in order to compete in the marketplace. Well, labor of the editor-in-chief is donated. Want you to notice that there's an independence of platform and operation within the open access model. The server should be independent of the operating system. Operating system should be independent of the application software. Application software should be independent of the publishing partner. Publishing partner should be independent of the scientific society. The scientific society should be independent of the intellectual property of the scholar. Scholars should be able to have control over how their scholarly work is disseminated. So, we have a few takeaway messages I want to leave you with. You can fund, universities can fund journals for a little more than the cost of a few library subscriptions. This is something that's happened at our university. Our university counts open access articles exactly the same as articles published in print journals. So I'm encouraging universities to go into the publishing business and require open access dissemination because the scholarly community needs it, and the healthcare field, our patients need it. Independent publishers are available to provide a high-quality product at a competitive price. And this will vary depending on venue, but in the healthcare arena especially, we need to produce high-quality products to compete. We need to have expert copy editors, expert layout editors, expert proofreaders. And there are folks out there, we've been extremely pleased working with our publishing partner. And those lovely folks from Multimed are here. I'll be happy to introduce them to you if you wish. We need to recognize the open access model as a disruptive innovation. It will change the business model. And the traditional print journals are not going to go down without a fight, but the transaction cost analysis indicates that it's just going to be irresistible in the long run. And for the public good, scholars should retain copyright and publish online in open access quality journals. Now it's time. That's something. We couldn't do this a few years ago. I took this out of my hotel room a couple of nights ago. There's Oliver Queen's tower. And thank you very much.